Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Happy holidays, everyone. It's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to announce that Inside the 18 and the Union GK community will be at the United Soccer Coaches Convention this January in Anaheim, California. So come on out, meet us and some of the Union Pro mentors while experiencing a live demo of the interactive Union app. Prices will rise after December 13th, so use promo code GKPOD24 for a special rate just for Goalkeeper Podcast listeners. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. Happy holidays. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me momentarily will be 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber. We're having some technical issues on that end, but that's okay because we got someone that can fill those gigantic gloves, as they'd like to say. The one and only Nebraska goalkeeper, CeCe Villa. CeCe, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. That's quite the statement. Bold statement for me to be able to say I could fill those gloves from Saskia, but I'll take it.
Hey, you know what? Anything's possible, right? I mean, like, yeah. you can go from being a walk-on to a scholarship player at one of the biggest universities in the country. Anything is possible.
You never know.
In the goalkeeping world. So before we kind of get into today's topic, guys, and that's going to be navigating the college recruiting landscape, which is obviously something that is really, really important to a lot of our watchers and listeners and everything like that. CeCe, why don't you kind of just break down a little bit kind of your journey? Because obviously we met at Camp Shutout doing a comic book draft, I think it was.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Yes. No, so I'm originally from Iowa, and I grew up in Iowa, you know, playing soccer since I've been like 3 years old. And I was a multi-sport athlete and everything, and my mom wanted me to be a swimmer. But I wanted to play soccer and she just didn't want me to get hurt. So that's why she wanted me to be a swimmer. But it kind of turns out that goalkeeping was my passion from just the time that I could become a goalkeeper. And ever since, I've just like loved the game and really, really wanted to be a part of it. And then once high school hit and the recruiting process started, that's a whole different thing of its own that we'll kind of talk about a little bit today. But it was also tough because my junior year is when COVID hit, and that's kind of peak recruiting and the whole process as well. So it was just a battle to like talk to coaches and figure out what we could do, what we couldn't do based on NCAA rules. And I just had a dream of going D1, and that was something that I was not willing to give up even with COVID. And I knew that I was good enough to do that. And so I did not give up on that, and it ended up not necessarily costing me a scholarship, but I recruited as a preferred walk-on and I was promised a scholarship in the future, but it wasn't necessarily guaranteed. They're like, you just work hard enough and we'll talk about it is what they said. So, but
go ahead. I was just going to say Saskia's here. So Saskia was about to chime in. Yeah. Yeah. Me? Much better. Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I like that. I would, you know, as to how you play, we'll give you scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Saskia, check your settings because I think sounds about the same.
I've actually done this before.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Saskia to figure out her audio situation, who God knows what could be possibly going on here. CeCe, I love the fact that you brought up about the preferred walk-on thing and obviously the COVID thing, because that was something that made the kind of the college recruiting process a little bit different for people than usual. Oh my God, so much better. Yay! There we go.
There we go.
We have Saskia Weber, everybody.
On Friday, and I don't know how to do anything, audio or anything. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's a lot better. We were just talking, Siska, about just kind of how that COVID thing kind of threw the whole college recruiting landscape in a whole tailspin.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. As well as the fact it also changed, like people are playing their sixth year right now.
Yeah.
So changed it in a sense of with that COVID year, plus people with redshirt years and everything. Now, when you were going to recruit a keeper that might have come in, sat their first year, sat behind somebody, now that pushes that back two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so now a keeper that you were looking at to come in, you're like, well, now, our starting keeper is going to be here for another 2 years when that wasn't the fact. And that really affected the recruiting classes.
Absolutely. I think it's also affected how many people are entering the portal and finding places from that sense of things as well, because so many more people, I think, have transferred since COVID has started, because tons of people in my class committed without going to universities, like for visits, and tons of people in the class below me went to universities without visits.
And that's a big deal, because you want to get your boots on the ground, mm-hmm. and really see if you love where you're going to be. You have to.
Absolutely.
You have to.
And one of the things that you're saying about that, which is actually really interesting too, Cece, and as we get kind of in the topic about navigating the college environment, is like, now as a high school athlete, you're not only competing with the other high school athletes, you're competing with everybody in the transfer portal because the rules have changed.
Absolutely. And it's like, you do have to worry about that, because even as a goalkeeper, no team is going to want more than four goalkeepers. Like, four is a lot. So it's like, suddenly you're worried about numbers, you're worried about if they're going to get someone that's older than you, they're worried about it's not just high schoolers, you're also worried about sophomores, juniors in college.
No, absolutely. Good point.
And I was just thinking about that. Obviously, Saskia, you coach at the collegiate level over at UCLA, and if you're in an environment like that, you're an elite program like a UCLA, and you see a goalkeeper come across the transfer portal, it's going to be pretty enticing as opposed to taking in a 17-year-old that with no track record.
It is. It is.
It was.
We had conversations with players that were looking to transfer, but you also can kind of delve into why and talk to their college coaches and be candid and what's going on and why does this person want to leave school? And, I'd say sometimes the reports, I can be candid, it's my show. I'd say sometimes the reports weren't that great. And so then you have to weigh, like, off the field, let's say. Okay. So like, then you have to weigh in. Okay. Am I bringing somebody in? Why are they leaving? They were playing for, let's just say hypothetical, everybody out, FSU. Okay. They were playing, now they want to transfer. But why? And then you have to kind of weigh that into, well, we have our starting goalkeeper is going to be here now with the COVID for two more years and everything. If we bring in a freshman, then that freshman's going to learn our philosophies, be a part of our, our culture and everything. And then in 2 years be ready to step on the field. And so that kind of, for me as a coach, like with that grace period to have an LB for another year and everything like that kind of changed that dynamic. It's like, well, we really don't need this transfer. I'd rather have this freshman come in and be, part of this from the beginning.
Yeah. Thoughts on that, CC, from the playing standpoint?
Yeah, I do think that is good from a coach's standpoint, but I think you also have to think about like just the communication aspect of that, because in the recruiting process and like going into a school, you're like, oh, well, now this person's going to be starting for two more years. Do I want to sit for two more years? Or could I just go to a different university and potentially play, or go to a smaller one and play? And that's definitely a battle that like I fought when I was recruiting, even though I didn't necessarily have a ton of options due to COVID and other things. But it was definitely a battle that I fought. I was like, do I give up on my D1 dream just so I know that I'll play for 4 years? And who knows what happens after that? But there's a lot of different.
And I've had conversations with multiple keepers that are, that have committed and stuff, that what are you looking at here?
Mm-hmm.
You commit, you're probably going to sit for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You could still go to an elite. Maybe that is the first school of your choice, but you can be competitive in a huge, conference and either be on the field starting by your sophomore year or possibly be, you know, fighting for that job your freshman year.
Yeah.
Making an impact for 4 to 5 years and then going pro from there. So that is definitely a conversation. And, you know, Mike, we believe highly in getting in and getting games.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things in regards to that, like Cece, just like thinking about that too. And like, and I think it's also awesome that, you know, you're going to be a Union College mentor for us. Cause we're, we're really excited to have, you know, somebody of not your, not just your skill set on the field, but also off the field. I think you're just going to bring so much to the community, but you know, when you grow up in Iowa, it's not as if you're playing in Southern California. So your opportunities to get seen are limited. And then you bring in COVID into the situation. There's no ECNL showcases anymore. There's none of that going on. Yeah. So, you know, you're basically just sending tape out there blind.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was, who can I get film to and how can I get it to him fast? And how can I update the film? And can I even get it updated? Because are we going to have games? Are we going to have tournaments? Are we going to have stuff? It was just questions after questions.
Because you're sending film from something that you've probably progressed from, you know, how much you've changed in a year and stuff. And now, how do I update this if I'm not getting games in?
Absolutely.
Maybe I can get privates in. But when there were the lockdown was happening, you couldn't even do that. So it was like, how do I update this? I'm sending this off to colleges and it's from 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it was a struggle that I never realized I'd have to think about because I was just worried about recruiting. And then I was like, oh, no, I don't even know how to do this anymore.
I mean, that is the funnest. And by the way, Cece, I'm really excited. So for those of you guys who are watching right now, we're going to be breaking down Cece's recruiting profile demo, which thank you for being willing to let us do that. Because
laughing.
It's pretty bad. I can't even lie.
Is there music to it?
Yeah.
That was always my favorite.
It's pretty bad.
But hey, you know, but the
truth out there, when you put music to things, think about the music you're putting on.
Yeah, really, yes.
Like that hardcore rap and everything, it makes me feel like, what is going on here? Like, not that there's anything wrong with hardcore rap, but just think about the songs you're putting
on. It's a lot for film. Yeah.
You know, but the cool thing about that, Cece, is as we kind of break down that film and everything like that, is that, you know, we're joking about it right now, but now going through of the process, having made that demo, you can kind of see the positives and negatives that you did through your recruiting process. And that's going to help you help others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Like even when I was downloading it to send it to you, I was like, I can't even watch this because I'm just embarrassed because it's so bad. But it's like, I have to mentally prepare to get myself in to break it down.
You know, I mean, Saskia, we always talk about that, you know, and we will once we kind of delve into the topic here, as we wrap this up right here, just that there's so many youth players out there are kind of given ideas of resources, but they're not given any guidance with those resources. They're just like, find an editor, find someone to film, blah, 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 but like no guidance in that process. So you're just kind of like, I don't know. I thought this was a cool save. And then you just throw that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think like even some of the, you know, conversations on the Union that I've had with keepers that have sent me their reels to look at, like 90% of the time I'm coming back with a lot of the same instruction. Like, you're sending me like game footage from a mile away. Right. Or you're cutting it too late. So I can't see the buildup, which is what led to you making the save, your organization, your position. And then I always ask for training footage, like, and a lot of keepers don't put that in there. It's just game distribution, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, that's great. It's all your great stuff, but I actually want to see some training. And that doesn't mean your greatest saves from training. It means show me a full, like, six save session, like when you're doing some shots and you get scored on, and then how you adjust from that, because that that allows me as a coach to see how you're coachable, how you adjust from making a mistake to now making the save right afterwards. And so I always ask for that.
Yeah. I mean, and I want to throw this up here right now here. Should we put the music on so everyone can hear the music?
Just for a second.
Okay. Header. What a great save again.
I be cutting onto left foot, cracking stroke. What a save by the goalkeeper, Miller, to dive into a right hand.
I feel like I'm at a reggaeton club right now. There's a lot going on right here.
I love the accent.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
I know. I felt like I was watching like the, you know, like UEFA or something.
Gotta set the mood.
Hey, you know, you what? Hey, at least you were keeping Suski entertained when that came across her desk. You know, that's
exactly.
That's important because they get so many. Cece, let's talk real quick before we kind of start talking about this tape and everything like that. How did something like going to Camp Shutout and getting involved with like that whole community and environment help you out with developing a network to be able to find the next level?
Yeah, I think it was super, super helpful. It was helpful in the way that I had people to ask questions to, because like neither of my siblings did sports in college or anything like that. So my parents didn't really know what was going on. I didn't really know what was going on. So I really leaned into like Stan Anderson as a resource, and I would text him all the time and ask him questions. And I think that that resource was like huge in this whole process of just being able to feel more comfortable in like emailing coaches and just figuring out what next step were. Like my coach helped me a lot for club too, but at the same time I was like, I know that Stan has national connections, you know, he's a good man to keep under your wing. So that was definitely something that I tried to like keep in and pay attention to. But on like the development side of it, I think that Shutout helped me so much, just having that long of just pure goalkeeper training with such good coaches. Like you just can't get much better than that, honestly. And that always helped. Even to this day, whenever I leave Camp Shutout, my confidence is at its highest. And I'm like, okay, I can conquer the world. Nobody knows what's coming now. That's still to this day as a staff member. That's how I am. After that week, I'm just so confident in everything about goalkeeping that it's just nice to have a little boost.
I mean, by the way, I think we should cut that and send that to Stan. He can definitely put some music to that and use that as a commercial next year.
He would, totally. For Camp
Shutout. Say that. Say it against us.
Surprise, he hasn't chimed in.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season. He's probably, I don't know. They might be doing camps, right? Oh no, wait, school. I think that's probably next week is that camps are going
on. Probably
next
week.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, December 12th. Although this coming week, guys, I will be in Richmond, Virginia, at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. We got a lot of live shows that we're going to be doing there. We got raffles. We got all sorts of union demos. It's going to be a great time, December 15th to the 17th. I will also be performing with Dave Ross and Ismail Laufty at Breckenridge Rude Brewery on Thursday on the Dave Ross tour.
We're
time to plug. I'm doing plugs right now. That's right. Just in case someone's watching. We want to get people out there.
Shameless.
Hey, it's my show. It's my show too. It's my show.
You're plugging your comedy show.
Well, hold on. Why don't we plug that you're going to be able to watch Saskia Weber in the next couple days on CBS for the expansion draft? How about that?
Yeah, but at least that's soccer.
All right, let's get into this topic. Okay, so navigating the college recruiting landscape. First off, Cece, kind of what do we mean by like navigating it, and how has it changed recently compared to like, you know, back in the day recruiting?
I would definitely say kind of what we were talking about earlier is a massive part of it, just that like transfers. And even though a lot of those like COVID athletes are getting out, like this is the last year, like they're all seniors now, so next year will be their last year in college. I still think that that is like a massive part of it as well. You have to think about like 6 years, and you have to think about transfers, and think about like mentally, are you willing to sit for 2 years and work on development? Are you wanting to play immediately? I think that's like honestly the main battle. And it was different when I was going through it, but at the same time it was still pretty similar with like the mental, like, do I want to be a part of a program and build mentally, understand the tactics 100% and then be able to play? Or is it more of like, I just want to jump in and figure it out as I go kind of thing?
Yeah. So anything you want to add?
No, I agree. I mean, look, to players out there, the way the landscape is now, to come in and start at a D1 school your freshman year isn't that common, you know? So be prepared to sit for a year. You know, but again, like you said, with the COVID landscape, what normally would be a year turned into two.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big ask. And you have to mentally and emotionally have to ask yourself, are you able to bring it every single day, mm-hmm. knowing that you might not step on the field, and still progress in your game, still have a good attitude, still support your team, be ready because you never know, because somebody mm-hmm. could get injured, but at the same time, not be a negative and not get down on yourself. And that's a big ask for young players, but it's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And, you know, and I think, you know, one of those things too, Cece, in regards to that is that, like, it's really, really important to start this process early. Like, if you mm-hmm. think you want to play in college, even if you just have an inkling, you know, like, what do you suggest, like, young players do, like, when we're talking about, like, the end of middle school, getting into high school, if, like, they have an idea that they want to play college?
I was a massive fan of ID camps. I went to so many ID camps. And some people might not agree with you, but I think as a goalkeeper, I think that is important personally, because, like, if you come to a game, you don't know how many touches you're going to get. A midfielder, you know, a midfielder is going to get 100 touches at least in a game. So it's kind of a whole different battle as a goalkeeper. You just don't know how that game's going to go. You might have 10 saves. You might have zero. You might not even touch the ball with your feet. So I think that is kind of a massive thing when you're thinking about that, is going to an ID camp. You will get reps on reps on reps. The goalkeeper coach will be able to see you. The actual coach will be able to see you. They'll be able to see you in some different environments, games, etc. And I think that is, like, a huge way to also be able to tell, like, if you like the school or not, because you get to work with the coaches and potentially some of the athletes that are there currently.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I'm looking at your film. I actually like that you've mixed in training footage. And this is exactly what I was talking about. Like, and, you know, everybody out there, listen to that. Like, show me some training. Show me, like, the end result of this training. Show how it's implemented in the game. But I'm looking at your training more in a sense. I'm looking at these saves in the game, but I'm looking at your training in a sense of, like, okay, let's see her footwork. Let's see her balance. Let's see everything, things that I can see in repetition to see where we have to go with it, where you're at. And everything. So as much as you're laughing at your film, it's not bad. It's not a bad, it's not bad at all.
I'll take that. That's good.
hey, you ended up at one of the biggest schools in the country. So it couldn't have been horrible.
That's true.
Now, ID camps. I agree with you. Like, and I tell goalkeepers that, like, you can't just rely on coaches coming and sitting on your sideline at an ECNL game and something, because how many touches are you going to get? And a lot of coaches joke. They're like, to see the keepers, they show up for warm up, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. the coaches aren't, they maybe see a half, they move on to another game.
Yeah.
And so you might've not gotten any touches or anything. And, you know, I think ID camps are huge. I think do your due diligence on your ID camps, make sure you kind of have your list of schools. Either do an ID camp where you know those coaches, maybe multiple coaches from different schools that you want will be at. But also make sure there's goalkeeper training at the ID camp. So, you know, because yeah. you go to an ID camp and they don't have something structured for goalkeepers, and next thing you know, you're just playing in scrimmages and small side, which is fine, but you're not getting any kind of.
Oh, did you freeze, Susk?
Oh yeah.
I think Susk froze. I think she froze. Lord knows the technical issues we're having with this right now here. Hopefully
there she is.
Are yeah. you back, Susk?
I don't know what's going on.
Where are you? You're just in Woodland Hills, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. But by the way, I've been playing a game right now. I was like, how many of these are gonna go into it into the mini goal right here?
Not enough. Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in Connecticut, but I'm not going until Thursday now, so.
Oh my gosh. Wow, they really just get you in and out, don't they?
Right? I thought I was going to be early, but that's okay.
Hey, that's okay, you know. You get a couple more days in the sunshine of mm-hmm. the 47 degrees that we have here. Everybody's freaking out. See, I'm not kidding you. Like, last night I had a comedy show. There were four people in the crowd because it's like 45 degrees in LA.
You're kidding.
We're like, they won't go outside. Yeah.
It's 75.
It's 75 right now?
Yes.
Well, it was cold last night. People wouldn't go out last night.
That's insane.
It's 23 in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's 30s here, so.
Yeah. All right, let's.
All right. Focusing up. All right. Let's talk a little bit. I love the fact, by the way, that you included some throwing in here too. That's really cool that you did that. I know Suski is a big fan of anybody, including any throwing. Most people nowadays, all they just show is their side volley to like a 60-yard side volley that'll never happen in a game ever.
Yeah.
But they'll show how they did that in training. Right there. This is more realistic, CeCe, into something that might happen from a counter standpoint, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, throwing has been one of my favorite things since I started goalkeeping. I don't know why, but it is. And I think that just being able to launch it and especially for a counterattack, you make that catch, you look up, you find that person on the wing. That is just one of the best ways to go about it.
Speaking my language.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's talk a little bit about letters. Because I've been helping some players in the union program, the mentor program with putting their letters together. And CeCe and Susk, I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody who I've helped, and I'm not going to put anybody on blast. Mm-hmm. It's so generic. It's so vague. It's obvious you're sending this to thousands of schools. You've done no research into the program. You've done no research into what programs, academic programs they have in the school. Go ahead.
I tell you the amount, Sam and Amanda and those guys would always, we'd sit in the office and those letters that are not personal in a sense, it's just a cut and paste. The amount of mistakes in them.
Yes.
Whether it's messing up something about the school or anything because they forgot it was somewhere in the body and they didn't change it. Again, not knowing the academics, not personalizing it. If you're going to send this letter out, take the time to do the research on the school. Hey, I really like your business program. I know it starts here and that this is what I'm looking for. I like the Westwood area. Make it personal that you took the time to say this letter, although the crust of it, of the body, I know is going to be the same, but you need to take the time to put personal things in there. About the staff, looking forward to training with Saskia Weber. I've watched so-and-so coach for so long, been around ID camp and stuff, because it goes noticed. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not just changing a name here and there. That's not ChatGPT. Write me a recruiting letter. And then then you just change the name from Suskia, to CeCe. That's not it.
They mess it up.
Go ahead.
They'll have the wrong coach name from the old goalkeeper coach or something like that, because they just Googled something and they just took what they read. They didn't really do their research.
Yeah. And speaking of research, I think that especially for goalkeepers, making sure that the school you go to has a goalkeeper coach is so, so, so important. Because getting that training and having that personalized coach that actually knows what's going on, because having a defense or an offensive coach is so much different in soccer than it is a goalkeeper coach specifically.
Yeah. And it's funny, CeCe, because I can't tell you how many players out there don't even look into that, or they're always messaging the head coach as if the head coach has time, as if the head coach does any of the recruiting.
Yeah.
At all.
It's true. Down. The other thing is, I'm going to say, and I know this is weird, but it's a good conversation to ask when you do find, I know this isn't a letter, but if the head coach was a goalkeeper, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get their time.
Exactly.
So that head coach is coaching the entire team. That doesn't mean, the head coach was a goalkeeper, so they don't have a goalkeeper coach, but the head coach was a goalkeeper. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be structured for you. Mm-mm. So you've got to do your research. And yes, Dan, thanks for the good talk. And I knew you.
I want to say this. And by the way, I do agree with Suska. This tape is not a bad tape. There's a lot of good things here. There are some things that we were talking about a little bit in regards to when you're putting your tape together. Mm-hmm. The distance. I know a lot of times it's mom or dad or, friend filming in the bleachers. They're sitting at midfield because they think that's the best place to sit. Okay. Somebody just, something just happened. I think some parent just put a hex on me, based on that right there. But, Is this something you, CeCe, you've thought about, like after you sent out your recruiting tape, you're like, oh, I wish I had some tape of me a little bit closer, like more showcasing the actual development of the goalkeeper and the movement of the goalkeeper, maybe with like a GoPro or something.
Absolutely. I think that, like, I mean, this was from our state high school. So it was like from whatever TV was there, but it was like the best stuff we could get just based on like resources and that kind of thing. Okay. But no, like, and now in college we have like the Spideo cameras, and those are like so nice to be able to see the movement, the positioning, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, obviously no club is going to be able to have that for on their like outdoor fields, but just anything you can to be able to really highlight the goalkeeper specific, not necessarily like, but that being said, you kind of pointed this out, Saskia, like you don't want to cut out what development led to the save or what development led to
right
you being able to do what you need to do.
I think like if your parents, for people out there, if your parents are going to go and the mentality is, listen, we're focusing on putting your recruiting tape together this season, mm-hmm. and you're going to, and they're going to your ECNL games, go with the consciousness of saying, I'm not just setting the camera up on a tripod and what happens happens and following it. Actually try to be, you know, a cinematographer, try to do it. Like try to maybe zoom in when you can, try to mess with it,
yeah.
or get a better, I'm serious. Like yeah. if the focus is to put a tape together.
You got Scorsese as your parent here.
I guess I've been in that way too long. They're like five cameras following you. Right?
CeCe, that is one of the fun things about coaching in Southern California is there's a lot of people here in the film business. Mm-hmm. So like you will get at like youth games, you will get like full on black magic phantom cameras. Like,
oh, I believe it. I totally believe it.
I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, I know everybody out there, you're doing your best with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to when you pull clips, try to pull clips that maybe you can zoom in, maybe you can edit this so you could do it twice. You can show the full field and then you could do another clip and get it up close. You know what I mean? Like mess with it.
As we see the 10-yard sprint, the speed of CeCe go ahead, Saskia. What were you going to say? Speed and agility. Here we go.
That's fine.
Here she goes. Okay. Oh no, that's a throw. I was like, I was waiting for the combine results to come in here. Let's see here. Speed and agility.
Wait for my T-test.
And here we go.
Hey, look at her go.
Look at her go. Was this something that somebody said for you to put in here? Or
yeah, what was... my college coach, my high school club coach really, really recommended this.
Okay. Susk, thoughts on this?
I don't really know, like... the, like you from a starting position that's unnatural to run forward, like if like something like this would be better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like something, although you're not going to do a shuffle that far and everything like that. And like then I would look at this and say, okay, when you're going backwards with your body weight backwards, and your body weight should be forward even when you're moving backward. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So that's what I would take out of that. I would watch your footwork on that. The sprinting, it's the sprinting, you know, but I would rather see in something like that, I'd rather see in a training session, a through ball, somebody coming at you and you exploding off your line to go through a through ball and see how quick you are doing that. Yeah. Something more realistic towards the position. And so from a normal, natural goalkeeper starting position, then going, you know, not like track blocks. That would be my critique on that, but mm-hmm. I like the idea of showing your agility and everything, you know, just do it so that it's goalkeeper specific in
more
a sense.
Realistic for sure.
If only the Union app existed in 2020 when CeCe was going through her recruiting, she would have been taking mentor sessions with Saskia on all of
like I said, I like that you integrated the training with it. It was the first thing I said when we started this conversation, so
mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, obviously, and obviously, you know, we're having fun with the CeCe, but there is some really good stuff here. Why did you start with saves and handling, and would you do that again?
I still to this day think that my hands are one of the best parts of my game, like just being able to hold the ball. And I thought that was like a really important thing to highlight just because that was one of the things I was most confident on. But also, you know, it's the big saves. Got to make an impact right away. I don't know if I would do it again. I don't know.
I go, you show your strengths up front.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how long how long it is, right? You're real. You know, there's an attention span and there are 100 reels in my inbox and stuff like that. So I want to be drawn to you immediately. And so go with your strengths up front.
Yeah. You know, and I would like to also thank Mid-American Energy Company for allowing us the opportunity to use this footage here in case there's any copyright restrictions. Wonderful. Shout out to Mid-American. Sorry, I'm loopy today. I'm loopy today. It's the holidays. It's the holidays. Okay. So let's talk about, you start sending out these tapes and everything like that. First up, Cece, did you start out with like a shorter tape to kind of get their interest, or did you just send out a long tape from the get-go?
That's a great question. I think this was my second one. I'm trying to remember what was even in my first one, but yeah, I'm not sure. It must have been shorter because like I put a lot of work into this one and I was like, I did not do that twice. I don't remember doing that twice. So I think the first one was a lot shorter, but it was a huddle. I had a couple huddle ones that I think I sent out that I could probably find again, but.
please come back on the show and share those. That would
next time. Those ones are gonna be worse. There's no training footage in those.
It's just you in like a cornfield in Iowa.
Oh yes, exactly. Exactly.
Susk, when you were going through the whole college recruiting process and you were obviously starting to get invested in a player and everything like that, right? Like at first, were you like, okay, just a little snippet, and then like if you like somebody, then you maybe invite them to the ID camp, and then if you start a relationship, are you asking them to send you specific tape or no?
I was grabbed from the get-go for certain people, and you know, and again, on the flip side of that, there are other people whose tapes you're like, no, you know, I'm just being harsh right now, but it's true. You're like, no. And then it would be definitely an invite to ID camp for me. Like I need you to come to ID camp. I want you to come to ID camp. I need to see you. I need some time with you a couple of days so I can put you through kind of what my regimen is to kind of test you out in a sense and see, you know, what I'm working with, the, you know, where you can progress, where we can bring your game. So you know, that pretty much how that would progress in a sense. Like, I'd find people, like I'd randomly find people online, you know that, you know, so we've talked about that before. But really, like from those tapes, which were huge because, you know, you're not traveling around, you know, we would go to some tournaments in ECNL, but it really came down to a lot of the tapes and then getting them into ID camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Susk, I know you're limited on time because you got to get back to some coaching meetings to prepare for the expansion draft and everything. But so really quickly while you're here, I want to ask you how important academics, you know, was in your recruiting of players.
For us?
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. I mean, you got to be able to handle UCLA as well, you know, and. That wasn't my end of things. Like mine was the technical side of goalkeeping. But when I would sit and talk to Sam, she's like, we can't make this player happen, you know, and it is going to be a struggle academically. And you also don't want to do that to a player. You don't want to put a player in a situation where they are just struggling in school. It's over their head. That's going to affect everything. It's going to affect their playing. It's going to affect everything. And so you have to be open and honest with those players if they're just not academically there, or find out why, you know.
That's actually a really good point right there, Susk. Like, you know, Cece, obviously, you know, you're a very great, fantastic academic student, so that's not a question with you or anything like that. And I know that's something that you've always prided yourself on. Absolutely. but let's say a player is struggling, like what kind of resources are out there to help them so that not only are they able to get the grades to play at a certain school, but also able to survive at that school? Because it's not about just getting into the school. It's about, like Susk is saying, it's about being able to survive there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, for me at Rutgers, like with dyslexia and everything like that, like I struggled when I when they wanted me to go to Princeton and play two sports, I had to rethink that because I was like, that is a huge academic pressure on me. But Rutgers is as well. I mean, I'm not just Rutgers is one of the best schools as well. But the resources that I would have had at either school were great. Like, and so for me at Rutgers, like I was constantly in with my tutors. I was constantly in with, like, you know, study hall. Like I put so much effort into my studying because I had to. Like it doesn't come easy for me. But if you have to identify players that have that mentality.
Absolutely.
And because you're going to have to put it in if you're not that good of a student athlete, you know, like you're going to have to put harder work, if not harder, off the field that you do on the field. Because on the field probably comes more natural than in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, now let's talk a little bit about in regards to like getting back to this tape and everything, CeCe, like, you know, how important is it for you to know how you got to take off, Susk?
Yeah, all I'm right. going to. Off, so you're going back to the tape. CeCe, I'm so excited. Of course, trust me.
Thank you so much for joining. This was fun. I joined.
Later, Susk. All right. Let's get back to this tape right here. So, looking at this right here, you know, obviously there's different things that you would change, you know, moving forward and everything like that. But we're always going to keep growing and progressing. Mm-hmm. And what do you think, like, if you knew, like, how, like, what you know now based on how Nebraska plays and based on, like, what they're looking for, like, what would you have changed in your tape?
That's tough. I think, honestly, I would have tried to do what Sasuke was kind of talking about, like, try to highlight some more real-life situations in training. Like, all of these are pretty manufactured, but I think I definitely would have tried to maybe bring in a friend who could do a little 1v1 striking or something of that nature. And just kind of think a little bit outside of the box in that sense and just try to manufacture a little bit more realistically, just to highlight that a little bit. Like, obviously there's game footage in there, but at the same time, it's like, that's not everything that you want to look at. Like, I don't think I have a single, or if I do, I have like one or two 1v1 situations. There's not many at all in there, which has never been a massive part of my game, but it's also something that you want to highlight.
Yeah, you know, and I think also another thing too, and you know, and this is something that I brought up when I've done mentor sessions with youth players on the on the app, is that you want to make sure that you show the development of the play. Like, I want to see your starting position and like what led to this final action, as opposed to just showing me the final action type of
thing. Absolutely.
You know, and I think the problem with that a lot of times with young players is they don't know how to read the game, so when they get footage, they don't know where to cut it because they don't know how to read the game.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something I've learned so much more about in college, is just like that tactical, like watching the game, understanding the game, like that kind of things. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is just to watch soccer. Like, that is so important, whether it's your own games, whether it's professional, in all of it, any of it, anything. Like, I've watched so much more soccer, especially from all of our international teammates. They watch soccer nonstop. Premier League is on all the time. And it's always fun to like just hang out with them and just watch soccer, because you learn so much about the game and you learn so much about like things you can do, things you can add to your game, even as a goalkeeper. Like, it's so important to just see how many tactics they know. Like, a goalkeeper should be able to tell you exactly where every player on the field should be at any moment in time. And that is something that a lot of people, especially young goalkeepers, don't understand.
Wait, I don't think I understand that. Wait, every single player on the field, you should know where they are on the field.
Absolutely. Man,
okay, I got a ways to go.
Yeah, like, I think, like, that. I mean, that's my opinion, but I think that, like, on a set play, I can tell you where every single player should be on any set play for our team. I can tell you on most, like, if what block we're in, where people are supposed to be, where they're supposed to shift. Like, where's our help side shift? Like, we're a zonal team. So it's like, where's our help side shift? Who's covering in these spaces? Like, I can tell you where the spaces are. And I think that's helped me a lot, like, especially in training, is like, okay, well, I know where the space is going to be. So now I know where I'm supposed to distribute the ball. Like, that's kind of, that tactical side is going to be able to help you look better, be able to help you feel better, feel more confident, because you're like, oh, well, I know the person's supposed to be there. So I can just play the ball there. And if they're not there, that's not my fault.
that's a great payway in regards to the communication. A lot of communication is non-verbal. And it's also just an understanding from repetition at training and understanding, recognizing patterns, and also like knowing traits and tendencies of your players. And absolutely. Then also, I think sometimes CC, like people be like, oh, that was the best soccer decision. But you know that player is weak on that left foot. So why are you going to play him there when you know that that's not going to be successful? Not yeah. calling anybody specifically out.
No, I mean, for sure. Getting, for sure. I mean, yeah. that is so common. Or like you might have a center back that's like, do not play me the ball. Like sometimes that happens. Like they just never want the ball yeah. from you. They're like, I'll deal with it, but not from you. And it's like, yeah. why would you put them in a situation you don't want them to be in? Like it is not worth it. It is not worth them getting stressed out. And like, it's different. In the collegiate level, obviously, because if a center back is looking at you and saying, don't play me the ball, you're going to say, well, I'm going to do what's best for the team. And if that's
yeah.
give you the ball, you're going to deal with it. But at the high school level, that's a different story. Not everybody wants to go D1. Not everybody wants to play in college. So that's a different story.
Yeah, the high school story can definitely be an adventure. There's some people there that are they're using it as cross training to get ready for lacrosse. So
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You never know.
I want to talk a little bit about, you know, now when you're getting near the end of the process and mm-hmm. you're trying to finalize your decisions, like what advice do you give to young players? Like when they're like, okay, I know that these are like the five schools that make sense for me or four schools that make sense for me. How do I narrow this down? And obviously that gets really difficult. Like what bullet points would you give them?
The first one, and I'll say this to anyone, is make sure that the school is going to help you academically. Because, I mean, it's a cliche phrase, but you're a student athlete. You're a student first. And if your grades aren't good enough, you're not going to be able to play, or you won't be able to play well. Like, you won't be able to thrive in every aspect, and you want to be able to thrive in every aspect. And that is definitely one of the reasons why I was, like, highly looking at Nebraska, is because of the major and the academic program in health science. And that is something I'm still so happy that I did, because it's been pushing me, but not in a way that it's like I want to change my major. You know, it's what I'm interested in. It's everything that I needed yeah. it to be. And I think that is something that's so, so important, is of just making sure, even if you don't know what you want to do, going to a school that has options. Because if you go to somewhere that might not have a lot of options of just things you're interested in, then it's going to be hard to find what you want to do with that. But secondly, I would definitely say the culture of the team, the culture of the players, that is something that has really, I've found here at Nebraska, that has so made me so confident in my decision in that. And it's just like everyone on our team is friends. Everyone on our team, when we're on the field, we all understand what our goal is. Our goal is to win. Our goal is to go as far as we can. Our goal is to do as best as we can. And there's nothing else. Like, we'll do anything we can to get there. Competitiveness, aggression, like, etc., anything like that. And I think just understanding those goals and making sure that those core values align with your core values is so important. Because if you're not happy with your team, who is your chosen 30 friends that you will hang out with every single day for like 4 hours, you're not going to enjoy your collegiate experience.
No, and I can't tell you how many people, you know, have transferred because of that. Yes. Or just sucked it up for 3 years miserably, or 4 years miserably, or five years miserably, or 9 years.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
No. And then the thing is too, is like, I think, you know, one of the problems, I think, especially for a lot of youth players, is like, if you talk about like a Nebraska or mm-hmm. an Ohio State or a Michigan or something like along those lines, like these are iconic schools. So I always like try to tell people, like, don't be a fan, like think of it, think of this as your career and think of it as a professional, like, you know, like just because like you've been a big Apple fan, you've had Apple computers your whole life. You know, but you know what, Microsoft is going to be a better opportunity for you. Like, don't go to Apple just because you've always been Apple. Apple is literally going to shut down my computer any moment because I just said that right now. But you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah. Being able to remove that like fan mentality is a great way to describe it. I think like I did not grow up a Nebraska fan in any way, shape or form. And they were like, surprisingly on my list. I still don't understand how they really got there. I think some random person wrote it there, but I'm glad that they wrote it there, because it's definitely something that, you know, look at schools you don't think you'd look at. See how that works out.
So now let's talk about, you know, the walk-on process as an invited walk-on, because like there's a lot of youth players out there that are going to go through this process and they're not going to get a financial offer, or they might get the financial offer that they is not the right environment for them. How do they navigate that? How do they make that successful so they can make that transition to becoming a scholarship athlete? Like what did you have to do?
Work. Do not stop working. Train like a number two, you know, and work on that no matter what. And I think that is the reason, like, ended up. So yeah, I came on as a preferred walk-on. So they basically were just like, we'll give you a scholarship if you work hard enough. What does that mean? Nobody really knows. So it's just like, well, I'm going to work hard enough. That's what I'm going to do. And so I came in, and when I came in, there was 5 goalkeepers at Nebraska due to COVID and the whole thing. So there was a lot of people. And after my freshman year, I just, that like spring and summer, I would just meet with my coach, text my coach, hey, what do I need to do for a scholarship? What do I need to do for a scholarship? What do I need to do to earn that, right? What do I need to do? And he would always just be like, keep working, like, I like what I'm seeing. And so that was always like, helped me feel confident in that, just be like, okay, yeah, no matter what, I'm just gonna keep putting in the work, I'm just gonna keep showing up every day, giving 110, no matter what happens, that's what's gonna happen. And ended up paying off and signed my scholarship in August of my sophomore year, which is super exciting. And so I think when it comes down to it, like being a walk-on, being a preferred walk-on, anything like that, it, you know, it doesn't make that much of a difference. If you're at the place that you love, if you're at a place that fits you, you just work your booty off and do not be afraid to ask your coach. If they can't be honest with you, that's not okay. So do not be afraid to ask your coach about it and just fully ask them, what do I need to do to earn a scholarship? What do you see that I need to work on in order to earn the scholarship, and just put in that work?
I think that's massive. You know, and I think the thing is that like a lot of times when you hear something vague, like, I'll put in the work, like, you know, it's almost like a throwaway. They're like, yeah, if you work hard, maybe we'll give you a scholarship type of thing. And so like, you have to take that, and then you have to create the narrative around work on what that means. 'Cause they're not going to tell you, like, you got to figure that out. And I don't want to say that people are dismissive of walk-ons, or, you know, that they ignore them or anything like that, but it is difficult because most of the attention is going into the number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know,
that's a rhetorical question that I just answered for myself. So I'm very, 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 very proud on that end. By the way, Cece, I know that you just finished finals. So thank you for taking the time.
No, of course.
I apologize. I thought you guys had already finished.
No, you're good. Like,
oh my gosh. And you're like, no, you're like, hey, I just finished my final, so I'll get to that tape to you in a second. I'm like, wait, what? Oh my gosh. I felt like such a horrible person. I'm like texting you. I'm like, hey, are you cool for that podcast tomorrow? You're like, I'm in the middle of like, just like figuring out like how the rest of my future goes.
No, so, you're good at all. You're good. You're good. Okay. It's the beauty of a text message, right?
So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about like mentoring and like, you know, helping out youth athletes. 'Cause, you know, obviously the really cool thing is that you are getting involved with the Union Mentor Program. And before we kind of talk about that, like, first off, Cece, why do you think it's important for collegiate athletes like yourself to get involved in a mentoring program?
Oh, I think it's so important. I think just being able to have that resource of someone that's going through what you want to do is so important. Like, right now I'm thinking about going into grad school. And so there's so many people that I'm reaching out to, like, how do I apply? What do I do? What do I need to like have on my resume? And all of those things are just important things for my future. And I think it's the exact same thing in collegiate sports, you know, just having that mentor to be able to reach out to and be like, well, what do I need? What do I need to do? What should my film look like? That's your resume, right? And so it's like, what do I need to do in order to make that dream happen? And I think being able to have that person that's done it, living it, is so, so important.
And I love what you just said right there, because the thing is there's a difference. And I've brought this up as well. I think we brought this up with Owen Cornell as well, too. Shout out to Owen. I believe I know they didn't win the national championship, but that they made it pretty darn far. So congrats to that. What a successful season. You all had a successful season as well.
We did.
I mean,
Elite
you all went pretty,
let's go.
Yeah, pretty darn solid. But, it's one thing for coaches to do mentoring. And there's some fantastic, pro mentors, you know, on the Union app, but it's another thing to get mentoring on something like college recruiting from a player who's not only gone through the process, but still going through the process. Because I think one of the really cool things is to get mentoring about that transition from high school to college, not just on the field, but off the field too.
Absolutely. Like the academics, the athletics, the off season, in season, it's just a completely different ball game.
Yeah. And so I want to share a little bit about just kind of how this whole process works for you guys who are unfamiliar. If you're not familiar with it, it's on the Union Goalkeeping app. Everybody, what you do is you go to, you cough. That's what you do. You cough first and you go, no, that's okay. I'm the one that literally popped, like got like that when I forgot what I said.
You did get a little hexed, yeah.
Yeah, I did get hexed by the parents. That's right, for the film. You go on there on the landing page, on the app or on the desktop. You go to one-on-one coaching. You click on one-on-one coaching. And after you click on one-on-one coaching, it sends you to the portal where there's a bunch of different mentors right there. Look at that one right there. Got CCV right there showcasing
go big red.
That.
Go big red.
Got that. You click on her right there. After you click on her right over there, it shows you the hours that are available, and you see she's not available today. So you go, okay, I'll go to the next day right here. So I go to the next day on Wednesday, and look, she's available Wednesday. Hey. She's available Wednesday, December 13th, which is tomorrow, guys. So if anybody's watching this right now and wants sessions with Cece, yes. She's available tomorrow. And let's see when she's available. So I look and see, oh, no, first off, I click on that, and then I'm going to find out a little bit of information about her, like what she provides in her mentoring hours, as you can see, like college recruiting assistance, video analysis, transitioning to the college environment, academic resources. And you go, academic resources? Well, look at those honors and awards. That's somebody that understands academics. So pretty good person to mentor you and to take mentor session hours from. And then I go, this looks like it's perfect for me. This is what I'm looking for. And after I look at that, I go, I go back to her bio. That's
yeah,
what
you
happens.
Watched my film from high school.
No, because you know what happened is that it's actually below that. It says book now, and it's got your hours that you're available, and to book now to press that button right there. But right now, the little banner thing is high.
No, there it is.
Can you see it or no?
Oh, no, it's I see at Goalkeeper Podcast.
Yeah, it's being hidden by the social tags. So that's not good. Well, anyway, that's what you do. And that is the process, guys. And we honestly, we would love to see you all, start working with CC. I think it's really, really cool that you're getting involved with this. CC, you know, I think one of the really cool things is that you already have kind of been doing this, you know, organically, you know, through working at places like Camp Shutout.
Absolutely. I have I have like four people that have reached out to me from there that are currently going through this process, like Morgan Shirley, who you talked to. And there's been a few others that have just texted me and asked me questions, and I've given them like the same advice that I've given on this show. It's just so important to pay attention to that culture of that team and the coaches and the academic side of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you guys are wondering, you're like, okay, so how can I connect with CC? If you're not on the Union app already, guys, we're going to make it really easy. This is like QVC now, CC. This is what's going on right now. We're going to be, for a limited time, you get a holiday gift with your purchase. That's right. If you subscribe to premium for an annual year membership, you will receive an exclusive Union Goalkeeper premium hat. Maybe CC will sign it. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what could possibly happen right there? But we'll send you an exclusive promo code. You put that in, you get your free hat. It's pretty darn really awesome hat. We're very excited about that. And it's honestly the greatest gift you can give yourself or the goalkeeper in your life, guys. $4.99 a month or $49.99 for the year. So for less than the cup of less than the cost of a cup of coffee, at least here in Los Angeles, for the month, you can get access to amazing, incredible people from NWSL, MLS, NCAA, Scottish Premier League, Bundesliga, all sorts of really cool stuff. And you can engage and share your own content on there as well, too, as I believe some people did during Camp Shutout, CC. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of kids were sharing stuff over there. So that's the plug right over there. CC, if people want to connect with you on the Union app, what's your handle on there? I think it's just Sevia.
I believe that is what it is, but yes.
Okay.
I was like, I better make sure before I say something that's not right.
you've been busy going to school. You had a college season. It's all cool. We'll let you acclimate to all that. Is there any type of content? Is there any type of content that you're that we should be looking forward to you sharing that you want to that you want to preview come in the upcoming months?
Ooh, that's tough. No, honestly, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that this podcast is kind of going to get me started on some, definitely some like film and preemptive recruiting stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And maybe we'll take some requests. Maybe people can DM you requests on what they want to see from you.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's the way to go. And obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it's at Goalkeeper Podcast for a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion on the Union app, or contact at InsideThe18Media.com on email. We are going to be in the Richmond, Virginia area. Well, I will be. Saskia will be at the expansion draft because she's too bougie to slum it with me in Richmond. No, I'm totally kidding. I will be there doing live shows. We'll be doing some demos of the Union. We've got a raffle going on. We're going to be got some autographed gear that we will be putting in that raffle. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then obviously you can meet us at the United Soccer Coaches Convention, January 10th to the 14th. Awesome presenters like Jill Lloyden from the Keeper Institute will be there. So really, really cool people. Cece, have you been to a convention before?
I have not. I'm like hearing about it. And I'm like, this is something I got to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's totally worth it. That's actually where I met Stan, was at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Chicago in 2019. Yep.
Wow. That's fun. Yep. Yeah. I definitely got to go then.
What's crazy is I didn't realize that Stan knew who I was. I was very humbled. I was like, wait, what? How would you know who I am? He's like, do you have a podcast? I'm like, oh, right.
That podcast. I'll do it to you. It'll get you out there. Thing,
it'll get you out there. All right, guys. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.